Two more arrests have been made this week in the rolling college admissions scandal, one of them a former fencing coach at Harvard University. Massachusetts-based U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling said in a statement about the arrests, quote, "This case is part of our long-standing effort to expose and deter corruption in college admissions. Millions of teenagers strive for college admission every year. We will do our part to make that playing field as level as we possibly can." End quote. Now, keeping parents from illegally purchasing college access is one part of leveling the playing field. Another is improving equitable access to the college pipeline, which was a big part of the Boston School Committee's unanimous decision last month to suspend the admissions test used for entrance to Boston's three prestigious public exam schools. The idea was to suspend them for a year, given both the overall impact of the coronavirus pandemic and its disproportionate impact on students who are already underrepresented in the exam schools. So then the question becomes, should we ever bring that exam back? Here with us to talk about access and equity, and that question, is Natasha Waraku, sociology professor at Tufts University and author of The Diversity Bargain and Other Dilemmas of Race, Admissions, and Meritocracy at Elite Universities. Natasha, I want to welcome you back to the show.
It's great to be back.
So, Natasha, you've made the case that this suspension is something everyone should care about, not just parents who want their kids to go to, say, Boston Latin. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it, you know, is really about increasing access and broadening our sense of, you know, who belongs to these elite places.
And why do we want to do that? I know at one level you're thinking, why on earth would she ask me that question? But I think it's worth spelling out why that's so important.
Well, you know, I think that we live in a society in which we really believe in meritocracy, and Americans believe in meritocracy more than people in other well-resourced countries. We think that people should be rewarded for their performance. We think that it's okay if we have inequality as long as there's a level playing field. But the reality is that we don't have equal opportunities in the United States. And so it's incredibly important to create systems in which people have a fair shot at being rewarded. And so if you're going to have these exam schools and these elite places, then it's important that we really have a fair shot at getting a spot in them. And when we see pretty dramatic underrepresentation of low-income students, of Black students, of Latino students, then it tells us that there is a problem and that we need to solve in order to be a more fair system.
And you believe that this temporary suspension of the exam for these schools gives students a fairer shot, yes?
I do. I mean, we know that, you know, the research suggests that it will increase the percentage of Black and Latino students at these schools who are pretty underrepresented already. And I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, there is a sort of baseline. You have to have at least a B average or meet expectations on the MCAS exam prior to the pandemic in order to be eligible. And in the past, students with a B average or higher seem to do just fine in the exam schools. So these students are most likely going to be successful. There are more students who could be successful in Boston who go to Boston schools than there is space for them in the exam schools. So why not allocate the seats in ways that are more fair and distributed more evenly across the city?
I was really interested in the replacement criteria. So again, this is a one-year suspension. They came up with other criteria to use in place of the exam. You talked about some of it, for example, GPA. 80% of the remaining slots, of the slots, will take into consideration zip code, basically where you live. And I find that particularly fascinating given there's a lot of research showing the impact of your zip code at birth on your future economic outcomes, earnings, et cetera. So talk about using zip code then as a consideration for entrance.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at, for example, what selective colleges do in selecting students, they really look at, you know, what are the obstacles that students have faced? What are the opportunities that they have had in front of them? And zip code is an easy way to sort of try to measure that quantitatively quickly, right? The Boston Public Schools doesn't have the resources that Harvard has to, you know, look holistically at every single student who's applying. But we can say, you know, we know that there's pretty pretty dramatic inequality between Boston neighborhoods. You know, you have neighborhoods that are incredibly wealthy, like Back Bay and Charleston, and you have neighborhoods that are more disadvantaged. In Dorchester. And so given these differences, and we know that there are differences in school performance and school quality, why not say, well, you know, you're in this neighborhood, you have these circumstances, and you were the top student. You were one of the top within these circumstances. To me, that shows incredible promise, and that I think that's an important, I think it's a really nice way to sort of take into consideration the opportunities that people have had and what they've done with those opportunities, rather than ignoring the great disparity that we have in opportunities in our society.
Okay, so far, this is a one-year suspension of the exam due to the virus. The day after the suspension was voted on, we talked to Superintendent Brenda Caselius of the Boston Public Schools. I asked her if this, you know, one-year suspension, was a backdoor to permanently eliminating the exam. She didn't say yes, but she also didn't say no. So should this be a permanent change, and do you think there's a strategy here to use this backdoor to keep it canceled, basically?
You know, multiple superintendents have tried to change the entrance criteria to the exam schools over time. And I think with this recognition of the inequality and who gets to attend these very elite schools. And so in some ways, this is sort of, you know, one of the very few, if not the only kind of upsides in education of this pandemic, is that it provides this opportunity to say, well, we can't do this exam, so we got to come up with another solution. And I think it would be great to continue to use this if she is able to do that. And again, I think it's a politically very fraught, because there are a lot of very powerful people in Boston who want the exam schools to admit students the way that they do, because it benefits communities like theirs, I believe. And so I think if she can garner the political will, I think partly it will depend on what happens with this cohort. And I think, you know, we need to watch this cohort very carefully. And my guess is that we're going to see that these students are going to do just as well and be just as successful. And perhaps it will become even more an engine of social mobility if we have more disadvantaged students going to these schools and then experiencing a shift in their outcomes. I think that would be the best outcome of all. So I'm hopeful that this could, you know, once you, it's hard to make that first move, but once, you know, we think about organizations, once you make that move, it's, you know, moving, and then it feels like moving backwards if we go back to the old system.
I do want to ask about the parents, the families, the students who spent a lot of time and energy preparing for a test, counting on that as a way to distinguish themselves, and then it got pulled. Is it fair for them to be upset?
You know, I think I'm sure some people will be upset, and this is a one-year thing, you know, where we didn't know what the entrance was going to look like. I have a niece in New York City studying for the exam in New York City. She still doesn't know if it's even going to happen there. So it's the same kind of situation. I'm very empathetic to that. On the other hand, I think we can't lose sight of the fact that in any system of selection, there are winners. There are people who are advantaged by them and people who are disadvantaged by them. And there's no one fair, you know, best way to do things. And, you know, there are communities that have historically been, you know, really shut out of these schools for the most part for years. And so, you know, I would say that while it can see that shift can feel like something is being taken away, I think the way to think about it is that this is being made more democratic.
Last question for you. You know, as I was introducing you, I talked about the college admission scandal. You know, we know Richard Reeves's well-known book now from 2017. He's a Brookings Institution fellow, about dream hoarding, which is families making expenditures to give their children opportunity really at the expense of other children and other families. What we're talking about here with an exam like this is more of a systemic lack of equity. But I wonder, when we put the whole thing together, what are the major steps we need to take to kind of reduce the craziness and the nuclear arms race of access to college admissions for our young people?
I mean, it's interesting because there was a story, a different study through Brookings that was written up in Brookings that showed that actually, when you look at students who like just made it into the exam schools and the students who just didn't, kind of on the margin, you don't see a big difference in their outcomes, which is to say that all of these students are strong students and it doesn't seem to be making a huge difference. I think in part because a lot of them are already advantaged. And so, you know, for me, I feel like instead of spending so much energy on these exam schools, we really need to focus on strong schools for all young people, because you shouldn't have to, you know, ace an exam or get great grades when, you know, whether you get great grades when you're 11 years old shouldn't determine whether you get a high quality high school education. You know, I think that's just unfair. And so I think educational opportunities for everyone is really what we need to be focusing on.
And that's Natasha Waraku, sociology professor at Tufts University and author of The Diversity Bargain. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.